You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Classic Car Show with Tom Cox and Richard Lintonello.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm up here high atop the Blue Ridge Mountains. I've got the frosty Dr. Pepper to the left and ready to go. And Richard, you down touring Florida?
Yeah, I'm in Hope Sound, heading to Jupiter, and I'm photographing cars, and I've been here for 3 days and photographed all kinds of interesting cars for future features in Crankshaft. In fact, the favorite car that I photographed was a 56 Lincoln Premier convertible. It was in that wisteria color, that's a light purple, with purple and white interior and the gold trim. Man, oh, man, when we were driving through the streets of Stuart, Florida, everybody was turning their heads. It's just an absolute beautiful automobile. So having a lot of fun down here photographing cars. So it's pretty cool.
That wisteria color is a knockout. It's just beautiful. Drop-dead gorgeous.
It is. And yesterday I was down in Coral Gables just south of Miami. I photographed a 1934 BMW 325, one of those little pre-war cars with the swoopy fenders. And I also photographed a 1970 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser station wagon in red with the wood grain. And, you know, I love those Vista Cruiser wagons, man, with the roof panels. They are just way cool. I would love to own one. Really would.
When I was a kid, I always wished my parents would get a Vista Cruiser, just simply because the friends that had the Vista Cruiser, you could ride with them, and all you wanted to do was look out the panels. It wasn't that they were so large
right. To
look out of, but they were there, and they were just cool. They were just fun.
Yep, yeah, way cool. And, like I said, I'm down here in Florida, South Florida, photographing lots of cars. And the day before, I photographed a 1930 Franklin and also a 85 Toyota Celica convertible with low miles that is all authentic with original paint and everything. And an Alfa Romeo, 59 Alfa Romeo, 2000 Touring Spider, which you rarely see. And that car is going to be in Crankshaft issue number 4. So we got some good features coming up, and that's why I'm here, shooting cars. A lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a lot of great stuff and a great lineup. And, you know, sincerely, you know, our friendship aside, the magazine, what you just ran through, the litany of cars that you're down there shooting, it speaks to the variety and the depth of Crankshaft magazine and the fact that it truly, truly is a magazine for everyone. Because there's something to love in every magazine. In fact, there's more than just something. There's a lot to love in every magazine.
Well, thank you. That's the goal. Yeah, we're not going to be car snobs and only feature Ferraris and Bugattis. We're not going to do that. Like I said, you know, we got a Celica. You know, I mean, where are you going to see a Toyota and a Franklin in the same issue? You know, only in Crankshaft.
That's exactly so right.
Richard.
So if the car's interesting, we're going to do it.
Richard, tell everybody how they can get Crankshaft.
Yeah, just go to the website, crankshaftmagazine.com, and you could order either a single copy, so you could peruse it first before you subscribe, or you could subscribe for 4 issues per subscription. And, we're getting out there. The magazine's also on newsstands and Books A Million and Barnes & Noble. So, we're having a good time doing the magazine, and like I said, people love the variety. You know, it runs the whole gamut from low-end cars, high-end cars, classics, non-classics, imports, non-imports. So as long as it's interesting, and we felt that it has a nice design and it's a significant automobile, we're going to feature it. That's it. That's simple.
And, you know, being in the business for as long as I've been in it, the advertising business, that is. There's one thing, I bet you didn't even know this, Richard, but for me, when I get a magazine and it's perfect bound, not saddle stitch, that saddle stitch means 2 staples in it, and perfect bound means that That's exactly what it is perfect bound. And it's glued in, not just stapled in. And that that shows the character, to me, of a magazine that's a step above everybody else. And Crankshaft magazine, in my opinion, isn't a step. It's a whole staircase above everything else. And you're doing a fantastic job,
that.
Richard.
Thank you. We, you know, we're trying to offer the readers lots of value for the money. You know, it's not about us. It's not about making profit, although eventually we will like to. But it's about giving the readers value.
Details.
So I'm going to have to run. I have a photo shoot coming up in the next 10 minutes. So sorry I can't be with you guys the rest of the day. You're in good hands with Tom Cox, and I'm sure he's going to talk about something really interesting. So I want to see everybody.
He's going to talk about you.
I'm sure you will. But I'll be back on the radio next Saturday. So I got to run, guys.
Okay.
Take care, Richard. Have fun. Enjoy the cars. We've got the helm.
Have a good shoot.
Sounds great. Thanks. Take care. Arrivederci, y'all.
That Southern is catching up his leg, isn't it?
No, it's really amazing. And I, again, not to go on ad nauseum, but I can tell you, you know, Richard consistently says, oh, just buy one copy. And he's right. If you buy one copy, you're going to want more. I'm just telling you, just subscribe and be done with it, because you're going to love it and you're going to be glad you did it. And it makes a great gift for people. I've gifted it to several people, and they can't thank me enough. And they think about me not just one time, but every time that magazine drops in their mailbox. So what a great way to remember your friends on their special day than to give them Crankshaft magazine. So last weekend we were in Charlotte. It was a great time. We had a great show. There's a lot going on at the AACA Southeastern Nationals, and there was something to see there for everybody. Everything from a early 70s, I believe it was around 71, 72, Yankee motorcycle, which I have never heard of, and they were produced in Schenectady, New York, which is, you know, of course, I've heard of Schenectady, but I had no idea they ever built a motorcycle in Schenectady. And it was just a really neat and interesting bike, very low production, you know, and a Fiat Topolino. There was just all kinds of stuff there for everybody to see. A Brass Era Simplex, which is just a monster of a car. The cool thing about that is listening to it run, man, it just, we all say, you know, runs like a sewing machine. That thing just smooth as silk, just like a sewing machine, just da 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 da, beep 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 beep, driving along. It was awesome. It was a great time. Coming up, we've got another AACA event, which is going to be in Puerto Rico. It's coming up in April 21-23, which is next weekend, and it's going to be a really good show. It's going to be a two-day event there in Puerto Rico. Going to have a special Grand National and a special winter meet there, and folks in Puerto Rico are always such great hosts, and yours truly will be down there. Yes, look forward to being there.
Is Mr. Moskowitz going to be there with you and Tex? Well, in fact, we ought to give a shout-out.
Tex Ritter, he's not likely to be in Puerto Rico, but as I understand it, Stephen L. Moskowitz, the CEO of the Antique Automobile Club of America, is going to be in attendance.
Oh, fantastic.
So we're going to wait and see what happens there. But Steve says he's going to be there. He's going to be there.
Well, let's,
it's going to be a great time.
Okay, we've given a shout-out to Chris Ritter, and we can't leave out Stacy, right?
Nope, Stacy Zimmerman, our able-bodied public relations person. She does a wonderful job. And the entire staff there at headquarters, you know, Pat Buckley, Karen White, all of them, they just do a wonderful job, and I could go on and on and on. But AACA is a great organization. And I say that regardless of the fact that I first joined when I was 13 years old. AACA has always been about quality and taking care of their members, and they always go the extra mile. And our new headquarters and library and research center there in Hershey, PA, really, really serves the membership, and the staff there is truly, truly second to none. I mean, those people work like crazy, especially when we have special events. They're just working, even volunteering their time off the clock to make sure that everything is taken care of for the membership. So it's a great opportunity. And I'll throw in a plug while we're at it, and that is www.aaca.org for more information about the Antique Automobile Club of America. We are the largest and oldest organization of our type, and we love everybody's vehicle, no matter what it is, as long as it's as it came from the factory. We're excited to have you in and have you part of it. We love all cars. The local regions have a diverse mix of cars that generally are in local shows. So no matter what kind of car, at the local level, you're going to find people that you're going to have a lot of fun with and show, because we have nearly 400 regions and chapters across the country and internationally as well. So, great opportunity to get together with other people.
If people have been listening to America's Web Radio for a long time, we started in 2005, and we started with the Classic Car Show. That was one of our first shows. And when I have reached out to AACA, and particularly Mr. Moskowitz, and Stacy, and Tex, and it's not really Tex, but we call him that. But anyway, cooperation and willingness to help America's Web Radio has just been phenomenal, and we want continually to return the favor to AACA. And like you said, the staff, yeah, you know, I don't think I could get mad at anybody at AACA. They're just so darn nice that you can't get mad at nice. And even if they can't do something, they're still nice about it, and they're just wonderful folks. And that's one of the reasons that Mr. Cox is with us. And they're just absolutely the greatest of people, and they speak, whether they know it or not, and I guess they probably do, but they really speak for the whole hobby and or slash business, in that there are not many people that own classic cars that wouldn't give you the shirt off their back if you needed it. And they're always willing to help, as is AACA. If you got a question about your classic car, call the library, and they'll help you. And, Tom, it's just, I can't say enough about how we appreciate the relationship that we have with AACA. And want everybody that's listening or will listen to the podcast, if you're not a member of AACA, it's well worth your time, if nothing else, just to get their bi-monthly publication. It's beautiful. And it's entirely different, in my opinion, from Crankshaft. And it's meant to be. And it's just, it'll keep you informed of what's going on, what's coming up, and it's just a great, great organization. And when I grow up, I'm going to apply for a job.
No, you're absolutely right about that. Everybody is as nice as they can be. They're much nicer than I am up there at headquarters. I've never worked with a greater group of people. And talk about the membership. It's like an extended family. Truly, it is like an extended family. Most of my family has passed on, and I really have a extremely small family. But I have a large family because of AACA, and I've got friends everywhere, work on all various kinds of vehicles, cars, people with just boundless knowledge, and they're all always too happy to share that with you. So, and thank you, David. I hope they're listening at headquarters, because we can't say enough good stuff about them.
No question about it. And I look forward to many years ahead of working with you and Richard and AACA and Steve Moskowitz. You know, when I can go direct to the head man, it always makes me feel good, and Steve goes out of his way to be accommodating, and it just, I feel honored that I can call him direct, and that's, you know, and he'll take my call, but you know, it's just great being with you guys, and one of these days we're gonna all shake hands.
There you go. Steve was a former Oldsmobile dealer, and he was all about service and customer care. It was just ingrained in him. And when Oldsmobile rode off into the sunset, that's when Steve came to work for AACA, and he's just brought all of that customer service along with him.
Tom, so, let me ask you something. You bring up Oldsmobile. Well, I come from a split family. One side of my family, my uncle, my dad's brother, he would buy nothing but Oldsmobiles, the 98 back then. And, I mean, that he was so loyal to Oldsmobile, they should have given him a trophy or something. By the same token, on the other side, my dad and his father, they were Chrysler people. They were, you know, if you didn't have a Chrysler in the garage, you weren't part of the family. And is there loyalty today like there was? This was back in the 50s and early 60s. But is there loyalty, brand loyalty today like there was back then?
You know, it's a great question and something I really haven't put a lot of thought to. My dad was a dyed-in-the-wool Ford person, had Fords. When he and my mom got married, then Mercurys, and before he passed, he had Lincolns.
Right.
So he stuck with them all the way through.
Well, I was taught growing up that there was, and I never had a Ford until later in life, but it stuck with it in my mind, you know. Somehow it was instilled, fix or repair daily. That's what you get if you buy a Ford. And
fix or repair daily, found on road dead, you know, it was a lot of that. And then, of course, with Chevrolet, it was always, you know, if you listen hard on a nice, quiet day, you can hear a Chevrolet rusting.
So, that one I've never heard.
A lot of that to go around. I really feel like brand loyalty back in the day was somewhat due to the dealerships. The dealerships were much more a part of the community than they are today. They were small business people. There was generally one guy that owned the Ford dealership, another owned the Nash dealership, one owned the Chevrolet dealership. And as time progressed, then they started putting the dealerships, you know, within the certain marks. You know, you had like Cadillac and Oldsmobile, or Chevy and Pontiac. And but even going way back when, near the beginning of the industry, there were, you know, multiple makes at various dealerships, with the exception of Ford, that tended to be a standalone dealership. Some of them did, but they were all, generally speaking, except for the major cities, owned by members of the community who were heavily involved in the community, sponsored little league teams, this and that. So there was a lot of support coming from that dealer, and they were high profile people. as time's moved on, dealerships are much larger now, and that's something that the manufacturers prefer as well. They want fewer small dealerships and more mega dealerships. And generally speaking, once you start to move away from that, you move away from the personal touch. And when you lose the personal touch, you tend to lose some of the contact.
Tom, on that note, we need to take our first break, and we'll be back with Mr. Cox and the Classic Car Show right after a couple of messages.
Call J.C. Taylor today for a competitive quote on collector car insurance.
We're doing okay, Tom?
Give your most prized possessions the attention that they deserve. You'll receive agreed value coverage, giving you the peace of mind to know you're always protected. J.C. Taylor has been supporting the hobby with reliable service that has lasted for six decades. Call 888-ANTIQUE or visit jctaylor.com/awr to get a quote today. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening. And now, back to the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello.
So, before we went to break, we were talking about, brand loyalty. Again, it's like with most things. People buy from people. And the longer you held those relationships, the more loyalty you have. I know my dad, when he bought his cars, we generally went back to see the same salesperson every time. He would pick up the phone, find out if he was going to be in. We'd drive down there and look at the new cars and go over things and see if they couldn't work some sort of a deal out. But people buy from people, and I think the more consistency you have within the dealership, that has a lot to do with it as well. People feel comfortable going somewhere where they're known, and they feel like they're not going to get taken over the coals. It helps. The other thing, of course, going through particularly 50s and 60s, you had the win on Sunday, sell on Monday, the NASCAR and racing, where you had all the factory-supported teams. Of course, that came, waxed and waned as far as factory support. But that built a certain degree of brand loyalty, too, for people. But I think at the end of the day, it's more about people.
Mega
dealerships, you don't generally have the same consistency that you have elsewise. Although today, people do develop loyalties, particularly when they're driving their first vehicles, in college and high school. If they have a Honda or they have a Toyota or they have a Ford or a Chevy, they tend to stick with it throughout. So, an interesting topic.
One of our Mercedes dealerships here, where I bought a couple of Mercedes, they did something that the old insurance ploy. Do you remember what that was? And this was this was before.
I'm too young.
This was well before computers, but this Mercedes-Benz dealership, the salesman that you bought the car from remembered your birthday. And on, well, there were two times you'd get a card from him: on your birthday and on the anniversary of when you bought the last car from him. And, you know, I have a friend that's very much into postcards. And from being in the service and everything else, you know, oh, it's all well and good to send them an email, and it's all well and good to do something electronic. But I don't know of a person in the world that doesn't like to get mail from a friend or a relative, you know? And it just, it's like, you know, instantly they took the time to think about you, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And like you said, I think it may not have really been quote-unquote brand loyalty as much as person loyalty or dealership loyalty. You take your car in to get serviced, and the shop treats you extra special, you know? And you want that. Everybody wants to be taken care of. And the car doesn't take care of you. It's the people behind the car that take care of you.
Exactly. You buy a car and it completely falls apart, that's probably destroyed your brand loyalty. But that's, you know, they haven't made Yugos for a while. apologies to the Yugo owners out there. But generally speaking, most vehicles, even though there are lemons occasionally, are fairly dependable, particularly these days. And so I think it just falls back to people, personally. That's the big thing. So this week we were going to talk a little bit about some tips and techniques and how to succeed at your local and national car shows with your car, taking out, you know, getting it judged. And there are a lot of different situations you find yourself in. Everything from local charity shows to Mark Club shows to AACA shows to Concours events. And there are a lot of similarities between them, and there are a lot of things that you can do that will help you be successful in winning, if that's what you want to do. If you're competitive and you want to get the trophy, there are a lot of common threads amongst all of those in terms of what you can do to walk away with that award. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
Before we get into that, we need to take a break right quick. So, we're going to take a break right quick, and we'll be back with Tom right after this.
Do you love classic and special interest cars? If so, listen to our podcast every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on America's Web Radio, or find us on your favorite podcast site, iTunes, Spotify, or any of the others out there. We'll talk about classic cars. We'll talk to car guys. We'll talk to clubs that are here at our facility here in Classic Auto Mall. And we'll also talk about Classic Auto Mall and how we can help you sell your classic or special interest car. So give us a listen every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thanks.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction, including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, four issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Call J.C. Taylor today for a competitive quote on collector car insurance. Give your most prized possessions the attention that they deserve. You'll receive agreed value coverage, giving you the peace of mind to know you're always protected. J.C. Taylor has been supporting the hobby with reliable service that has lasted for 6 decades. Call 888-ANTIQUE or visit jctaylor.com/awr to get a quote today. That's 888-268-4783, or visit jctaylor.com/awr. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
And now, back to the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello.
All right, so we were talking about all the various venues that you can have your vehicles judged at, everything from the local charity shows to NCRS, National Corvette Restoration Society evaluations, and everything in between. But they all have several things in common. First of all, presentation. Presentation is everything. First impressions. You know, I think we'll all agree that first impressions are the most lasting impressions. And so when you put your car out on the field, the last thing you want to do is have it junked up. You don't want 50 lawn chairs in the way. You know, first of all, it doesn't look good. Second of all, when the judges are evaluating your car and moving around, you don't want all that stuff so close in the way. A couple lawn chairs probably back behind the car, fine, but you know, be aware of the fact that, you know, your judges are going to, once they get to your vehicle, they're going to need to have access to walk around it. Be careful in what you pull out of the trunk. Put it somewhere where somebody's not going to trip over it, fall over it. Make it look decent. The other thing, of course, we've all been to shows and lots of people are really, really proud of their awards, but we've all been to a show and we've seen the guy or gal that has the 6-foot-tall trophy stuck right in front of the car, and then photographs of the car with trophies, and then plaques and other things all over in front of the car and to the side of the car. And, you know, it's great to be proud of your successes, but if you're at a show, you're concentrating on the award that you're about to be evaluated for, not the ones that you've had. And trust me, the judges are not going to evaluate your car on the basis of what you've previously won. And if they do, they're not doing their job. So you don't need all that junk, all that stuff cluttering it up. And above all, my own personal pet peeve, those crying baby things that people lean against their car, drives me absolutely berserk. I hate those things. I'll just tell you, you don't want me judging your car with one of those crying baby things leaning up against it. You'll want to have your tires all properly inflated, and we all take that for granted, but sometimes people don't, or it's an oversight, and you know, your car doesn't have its proper stance if all the tires are not properly inflated. You know, you've got one inflated to 34 pounds, you've got one at 22 pounds. It actually shows up, and it really, regardless of what type of tire you're running, whether you're running bias ply or you're running a radial tire, it's still going to look bad if they're not all properly inflated. Make sure it's clean, no dirt. Hubcaps clean, no dirt. You know, it helps to have your hubcaps in nice touched up fashion. If they have embossed lettering on them, which was painted, you know, go through, take the time to get paint back in those nooks and crannies so that they actually stand out. Everything needs to pop. You know, with tires, you don't want them to be slathered with Armor All or some other tire gel to the point where it looks like you've overdosed on Brill cream in your hair. You want it to look as natural as possible. You want them to be clean. You want everything to look good. You want it to be finely detailed. It makes a big difference if you stop and think about it. I know my father used to always tell me when I was a kid growing up, you know, son, people are going to really look at your shoes. Well, you know, I guess he's right. I try to keep my shoes in good order, you know, at least my dress shoes anyway. And I think to some extent that's true. Your cars, tires, and wheels, rims, hubcaps, those are your shoes. You want them to pop. You want them to look good, and you don't want them to be all junked up with too much stuff slathered all over the tire to make it shine. You can get good tire protectant put on there, and it'll make it look more natural. They did not come dripping wet from the factory. You want to take a look at the body. You want it to shine.
You know,
you want it to have a deep glow.
Tom, this, if you don't mind me interrupting a second, I'm sitting here laughing at the fact that what your father told you was what my grandfather used to say. You can tell a lot about a man by the shoes he wears and the way he takes care of them. You know, if they're dirty or if they're scratched up or whatever and they haven't been polished in a long time, you know, he just doesn't care about the way he looks. And it holds true with the cars, I think, that if you've got good tires on them, you've taken care of the spinner, you've taken care, depending on what kind of car it is, you know, if those tires and those wheels are in good shape, you know that the person cares. And I think that's the whole thing of judging, in my opinion. And I'm not a judge, but it says a whole lot about the person, the driver or the owner of the car. And they're attuned to the small details. And that's true with the tires, just like you said on the air pressure.
It's all about first impressions. And when someone walks up to your car for the first time, you want it to pop. You want it, the good points of it to stand out, not the negatives, but all the positives. At first glance, 10 feet away when they're coming towards your car, you want it to pop. You want it to look good. When they get closer, you want a deep shine on your paint. You don't need swirl marks. And one of the worst things is excess wax. A lot of people get in, they start waxing the car before they take it to the show, or they use a particular type of chrome cleaner or what have you, and then you end up with all this white stuff, all that residue left over around the edges and in the nooks and crannies, and it looks bad. And you need to get rid of it. You need to make sure that once you've waxed the car or cleaned your chrome, that you remove all the residue, and the easiest way to do that is, you know, with a soft brush to get it out of there, get it out of the nooks and crannies, because it's like walking out of the restroom with toilet paper stuck to your shoe. You can have a great car, but yet if you miss all of that, it's going to detract from it. Perhaps the best way to go about doing it is to find a good, trusted detailer. And do your homework on it. Not all detailers are created equal. Ask around and then talk to a detailer. Ask them what they're going to do, what type of products they use, those sorts of things. But again, talking to people that have already had experience with particular detailers is money in your pocket and trophies in your trunk, because it helps to get the right person. You get the wrong person, you're going to have a mess. So find a good detailer. Let them detail and buff the car. And if you do, some of us want to do that. And if you want to do that, go on YouTube, look at a lot of videos, try to get it down, exactly what to use, what type of bonnets to use on the buffer, what type of buffer to use, what type of bonnets to use, what type of polishing compounds to use as well, because it makes a huge difference. They're not all created equally by a long shot. But once you get it in good condition, whether it's by a detailer or whether you find a way to do it yourself and you like doing it, then you're able to just maintain it. And maintaining it is relatively easy. But again, get all that residue out of there, all the white stuff. Get rid of it.
Tom, let me ask you.
You don't want to have any missing parts either, you know, wiper blades and things of that nature. I go to shows regularly, and I see people, you know, they've got a wiper blade missing, or they've got valve stem caps that are missing and things of that nature. Again, it's all attention to detail, and you want the vehicle to pop.
Tom, let me ask you, for lack of better words, what kind of crash kit would you recommend to somebody that wants to show their car? And when I say crash kit, the final detailing of this or that, or what can they, the extra rags to wipe off the dust, or the extra rags to do this or do that. But what kind of, and can they do that much at a show?
Oh, sure. You know, you've got some quick detailer that you can buy. Meguiar's and others make good products where, you know, you just spritz a little on and wipe it off. But here's the thing. The towels that you use, don't use the ancient towel that you got from Aunt Mabel's estate sale. That's not a good idea. That's great for cleaning up an oil spill on the floor of the garage, but it's not going to be good for your car. You'll want to buy good quality microfiber towels to use with your car. Same thing goes for cleaning windshields. Now, I like the blue heavy-duty paper towels to do windshields with, or even old newspaper, but, you know, not all of us read the newspaper anymore these days, and so there's not a lot of that around. But you want something that's not going to do two things. One, use Aunt Maybelle's ancient towel from her wedding gift assortment. It could have some sort of abrasive in it. You know, it could have a bobby pin stuck in it somewhere. You don't know what's in that towel. And then you're going to go and put it on your car and shine it and buff it, you're going to end up with horrible scratches. Just don't do that at all. Always use clean, fresh, like a microfiber towel. People who use a chamois after they've washed their car, you know, make sure your chamois is clean. Don't use a 10-year-old chamois. I've seen it time and time again where, you know, people take their car to the detailer and then they wash it 2 weeks later. They get a chamois that they've had hanging on the wall off. They go to use that to get the water off, to dry it, to keep the water spots from coming in there. And then they end up adding scratches all over the place. And cheap paper towels. There's nothing I hate worse than a cheap paper towel, because that's going to leave residue everywhere. It's going to leave residue on the windshield. You use it inside your car, you're going to have lint everywhere. And it's just like you're doing the opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. You're just trashing everything.
I might add that you might ought to check with your spouse and make sure it's all right with her that you are not using her favorite towels, or the ones that you've gotten from Mike Lindell or whatever. And same way with paper towels. Don't take the ones that your spouse is going to be using and loves, and just check with her before you do if you want back in the house.
I always say keep all of that stuff separate. Don't go into the house to get the stuff to clean your car. Keep it separated out in the garage. Keep it clean. And, you know, if you don't, someone else can use that towel other than you, and you don't know what they're going to put on it. Because ultimately, whatever they put on it is going to make its way to your car. Either it's going to damage the finish, or it's going to create a problem.
And
so
we gotta
keep all of that stuff.
We got to take
together.
Our last break.
So, with that being said, we're going to take our last break. We'll be back with Tom Cox right after this.
Since the 1960s, J.C. Taylor has been America's premier specialty insurance provider for classic cars, antique autos, modified, and custom vehicles. Our customers have trusted us to protect their prized possessions for more than six decades. For more information, or to receive a quote, contact our expert team today by calling 888-ANTIQUE or by visiting our website at jctaylor.com/awr. That's 888-268-4783. or visit jctaylor.com/AWR. Drive through time with peace of mind. J.C. Taylor.
Veteran-owned America's Web Radio endorses and supports Dr. Rich McCormick for Georgia's 6th District, U.S. House of Representatives. As a decorated Marine helicopter pilot, and now an emergency room doctor who served on the front lines against COVID-19, Dr. Rich McCormick has never been afraid of a fight. Whether it's communist China abroad, or the radical left in America, Rich knows the next fight facing America is to stop socialism. He's all in. Vote for Rich McCormick.
When it comes to car magazines, are you tired of reading about mega-dollar collector cars you can't afford, or endless reporting on auctions and how-to tech stories that don't interest you? Then Crankshaft is the car magazine for you. Crankshaft is a 144-page softcover quarterly filled with all sorts of fascinating stories, the type of car features you won't find anywhere else. It features American and foreign cars, pre- and post-war era cars of distinction including sports cars, muscle cars, and regular family sedans too. To discover what many car enthusiasts are saying is the best car magazine ever published, you can purchase either a single copy for $12.95 plus $3 postage, or a one-year subscription, 4 issues, for $59.95. To order your copy, go to www.crankshaftmagazine.com. That's www.crankshaftmagazine.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And now, back to the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio with Tom Cox and Richard Lentinello.
All right. More tips on how to walk away with that award. Let's go under the hood. Cleanliness is king. You want to make sure that you get rid of all the dirt and the dust. Dirt, dust, grime, grease, those are your enemy. And get rid of all the excess grease and excess oil first, because all that does is attract more dirt. You want to get rid of it. Make sure your wiring is neat. You know, don't have a lot of funky connectors under there that aren't wrapped. And, you know, if you're... wiring is supposed to follow in a harness, and it's supposed to have clips that it sits in. Make sure they're all sitting in the proper clips. Make sure you have the proper cable ties, you know, not just the kind you buy at Lowe's. You know, neatness, accuracy, and what looks good visibly, it's really important. Plug wires. Fresh looking. If you have an original car, those XL yellow plug wires, they look great. They're good quality wires, but they're going to look out of place. So make sure that whatever type of plug wires you're using, that you use something that is in keeping with the character of your vehicle. If it's a modified vehicle, the XL yellow or whatever else you want to run is going to look great. But if it's a 1959 Cadillac, you're going to want, you know, black spark plug wires. You don't want to go with yellow. Make it look good. Hoses. You don't use, if you can avoid it, don't use any flex hoses. They look like wearing tennis shoes to a formal. Don't do it. It looks bad. Flexibility is great when you're talking slinkies, not so much for hoses. You want those hoses to be clean and natural looking. Again, just like your tires, don't slather them up to the point where you can see your reflection in them. That's going to make them look bad. Proper belts in keeping with the year of manufacture of your vehicle and the period. You know, you don't want cog belts on your 1940 due to Soto. Battery. You want to keep it clean. You don't want acid. You don't want all that corrosion on your battery terminals. And a lot of people use the cutoff type connectors that, you know, you clamp your cable down on. They just don't look good. Try to go with a nice molded battery cable, similar to what came on the car. If it's not identical to what came on the car, it's like GM, they had those spring types push on terminals in the 60s, not the type that used the bolt. And the cars just look cleaner with it because that's what they came with. But the worst ones are just the ones that, you know, you clip the wire off, you skin the insulation, and you stick the other bolt on there and just slap it on there. It just looks tacky. It takes away from the car. Radiator. You don't want any funky overflow tank. You know, a lot of times your cars may overheat or you may have some overflow, and you'll want to protect your car from that if you're driving to the show. But chances are you probably got your radiator overfilled or you have a cooling issue if you've got a lot of overflow from your radiator. If everything is in good working order and it's the way it was as designed, you shouldn't have an issue. You shouldn't need the overflow tank. A lot of people forget the underside of their hood. You know, they polish the outside of the hood until they can see themselves in it. Underside of the hood, you need to make it look good, make it nice and clean, detail it, wax it, because again, when you pop open the hood, first impressions are everything. If it doesn't pop, it's going to hurt you. Another thing that people don't do, and that is when they're restoring or detailing under the hood, you know, say you've freshly rebuilt engine, you put it in, you've repainted the engine compartment, you're going to drive it somewhere. What's going to happen? You're going to end up with chips. You're going to end up with a little drizzle occasionally coming out of your carburetor. It's going to end up on the intake manifold. It's going to leave a stain. You know, try to clean the stain off. But if not, hey, when you're putting the car back together, when you're painting the engine, doing all of those things, save some for touch-up. Save some for touch-up. Don't just say, oh, I finished painting my engine, and then throw the rest of the can in the trash, or use it all up. Or if you do use it all up, get some spare. Another thing that will help you out in touching up certain things under the hood is going to be markers. You can get paint magic markers that come in a wide variety of shades and colors. And they'll provide what you need with some time and patience, checking everything, what's necessary to detail a few things once you get some wear on. Because if you're going to drive the car at all, you're going to end up having some wear. You want to have the proper finish on things under the hood. Not everything came with a gloss finish. It's one of the biggest mistakes people make when they're putting their car back together, when they're doing their restoration or refreshing it. They reach for gloss black. Gloss black did not go everywhere under the hood. It has its place under the hood. Gloss, sometimes gloss finish on your valve covers, gloss finish on your engine and your air cleaner and so forth. But then the inner fenders may or may not have been gloss. They might have been flat black. They might have been a satin black. Same thing with your radiator core support. And then same thing with your radiator as well. You'll want to go to a company like Eastwood Companies to find the proper paint and the proper paint finish, whether it's satin or gloss or flat, so that you're using the proper finish on everything under the hood. So when that judge opens the hood and looks in there, it's going to look the way it was supposed to from the factory. And just make sure it looks nice. Again, going back to the interior, you can use something. I recommend using something. I'm a big fan of Vinyl-X. I'm not a big fan of Armor-All. Vinyl-X makes vinyl and leather products. They do a great job. Don't leave that really super, super glossy finish, and yet they do a great job protecting your vinyl and rubber parts and make them look more natural. When you're cleaning, don't use alcohol-based products. They do nothing but dry out your vinyl and dry out your leather. You don't want to use it. Stay away from it. I've watched people, I don't know how many times, using Windex to go through and clean that sort of you know, various things that, oh, well, I'm in here cleaning the inside of my windows, and then they just start using Windex to clean their dashboard. Just don't do it, because it's going to dry it out, and when it starts to dry out, it cracks, it looks bad, it loses its own natural gloss. Again, stay away from the cheap paper towels. Do not use cheap paper towels if you're going to use paper towels. I don't even recommend that you use paper towels, but I know you're going to use paper towels anyway. It's kind of like in our business. We know that you're going to clean your glasses. You tell people don't clean them off on your pants. Use a cloth. But we know they're not always going to use a cloth, so it's like, look, don't ever use paper towels to clean them. So there's something to clean everything. You want to use the right stuff. For detailing on the interior, there's this stuff, and I can't think of the name of it. It's kind of like the blob or a silly putty. And you use it, and you press it into all the detailed areas on your console or your dash vents, and it'll get rid of all that dust and dirt that's sort of languishing in there that you can't really get to easily. But just be careful. Test it to make sure that you're not pulling the finish off of something. I've never had that happen, but I'm not saying it couldn't. It could happen. You know, it's interesting. The judging topic is a very large and varied topic.
And 1 minute to go.
I really felt like I could get it into one show, but I can't. So we're going to, Richard and I will be back, and we'll talk further about judging at a show in the future. I did have a pick of the week, 79 Volvo 262C Bertone Coupe. Great-looking car, built by, or modified by Bertone in Turin, Italy. The first luxury Volvo Coupe, and great car, 53,000 miles on the odometer, for $4,800, and I'll be posting that up later on today. We will get it up there on our Facebook page, which is The Classic Car Show for the Facebook page. And if you want to write, gotta go.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.